Okay, so I am back here. And the last thing I did, I was explaining my role in this project. So in the past, I acted as opponent and chair. But then since her finished her work, I have been collaborating with her and other staff at TechNoon on extending her study. And we are currently finishing an article that we will submit to a high-impact journal, the System Dynamics Review. Now, as to the model. So they conducted a group model building process involving companies in Spain, Italy, and the United Kingdom. The group model building process elicited factors that affect environmental management of the companies. They identify the relevant stakeholders, their influence, and their degree of interest in environmental management. And all these things that I am speaking about, you have in principle seen at the general level when I introduce group model building. Then they specify the stages of the maturity model, determine the indicators and metrics for maturity, the time evolution of the indicators towards increasing maturity, policies to achieve this, and express this first in causal loop diagrams, and finally in a system dynamics model that could be simulated. For each of these stages of the maturity model, the study provided a description of the maturity model, policies to achieve a higher state, indicators to monitor the progress, behavior over time of the indicators, and a causal loop diagram that for each of the stages showed the policies and the impacts, cause effects impacts. The environmental management maturity model had, and there you see why I adopted a similar structure, three reactive stages, one preventive and two proactive. In stage one is determine the legal requirements that the company has to follow by law concerning pollution and so on. In stage two, well, to identify assignment and train people, three, systematization, four, eco-square means economic and ecological synergy, in five, eco-innovative products and services, and six, leading green company. So you see that I have adapted these ideas pretty much from the empirical study that shows a maturity model of the life cycle study, because the company wants to come to the top for any industrial company targeting to become a leading green company. So the way I am going to illustrate this is I'm going to give a complete description of stage one, legal requirements. Then for stage two and three, I will only show the causal loop diagram. Then I will again have a complete closed loop to another stage, number four, and jump then to the causal loop diagram in behavior over time for stages five and six. And finally show the simulation model. So the first stage was described in based on the group model building approaches on a table that specified different activities and milestones for the activities. So as to legal requirements, identify the corresponding environmental legal requirements by some degrees and so on, look at the corresponding limits, measure the plant limit, and so on and so on. The responsibility of assignment and training, assign responsibilities, teach the workers in a practical manner, and so on. You can look at the details yourself. I just sketch briefly. Then systematization in this level, and so on and so on. Wait a moment. This is confusing. That's not correct. This is the description of the first three stages of the maturity level: legal requirements, second stage, and third. So I'm sorry, again, I was a little bit unattentive. I will clarify this later. So this describes actually briefly the three first stages and the milestones. So the title is not correct. But this is correct. If you look now at the stage legal requirement, then they define the following indicators. Investing end-of-pipe equipment. End-of-pipe equipment is a term used in environmental technology. The company produces some pollutants, and they would come out to atmosphere, and end-of-pipe equipment is the one that clears this pollution. So if it is gases, they will go through filters and so on. Water, they will go through to a plant that cleans the water before it is giving out to the environment and so on. Then the requirements defined was to determine the amount of greenhouse emissions permitted, total amount of waste generation permitted by legal law, total amount of water drainage permitted, and so on. Then their environmental impact should be measured, and level of compliance, number of violations, amount of fines. So there you had quite clear metrics and indicators for their first maturity stage. Stage of legal requirements. Then, as policies that were identified in the group model building, were identify legal requirements, estimate a company's legal environment aspects, implement the end-of-pipe actions. As remember, I told you that's what you do to make sure that what is released in to the environment has been clean according to requirements, and document and identify a level of compliance. Then here you have a balancing feedback loop that is the one that I adapted by changing the negative aspect of environmental impact by the positive aspect security. And that's why I got wrong here. Here the policy is correct. Implemented equipment should reduce environmental impact, and that will by reducing the impact, less impact, less gap. Remember, the polarity just translates in the same direction. So you have to compare the legal acceptable impact in terms of tons, say, or CO2 per month. It's one of the measures, with environmental impact in the same metrics. There is a gap. To reduce this gap, the company implements equipment, and this equipment will reduce the environmental impact. And if this impact is reduced, since the polarity is positive, the gap will be reduced. Same change direction in the origin and in the end of the influence. Okay? So, in addition, the experts look at the behavior of the indicators, and on a diagram over the stages, as you can see here, they plotted the expected behavior of the indicators. So they will invest in equipment. Once they have got enough equipment or much equipment, then they will continue to invest, but at a decreasing rate. The legal requirements they are given outside, but probably in the future they will increase. There will be stricter laws, so that's why they put this here. The fulfilled requirements, they will increase in a path, and the company impact on the environment will be decreasing. So the experts produce behavior. To begin with, it was more qualitative, so the scales here, they are not clear, but in an improved project, there will be done more quantitative measurements. This was another aspect, is that this should be valid for many companies. They will have different scales and metrics, and not metrics, but different measures for environmental impact and so on. One may be water, the other may be air, whatever. So therefore, there are some differences. Consider the model here as a kind of common model that should be tailor-made or should be adapted for each company. Next slide. So for the next two stages, I just show the causal loop diagram. You have the causal loop diagram for responsibility, assignment and training. And here, since it's pretty much based on equipment, so you needed to manage the equipment, assign tasks, and train the staff. As in the previous one, the only difference is that instead of the negative aspect, environmental impact, in our previous idea, vision, was this positive aspect to security, which will change all these polarities in the other sign. So this should be plus, this should be plus, and this should be plus, and this should be minus if we put in security there. Then, for the level 3, will be systematizing the processes. You have seen that before, a new balancing loop systematization. And where we have the negative polarity, where we have a negative polarity here, implemented processes will reduce the environmental impact. In our case, it will be positive because it will increase the security. But then the gap will be different. It will be in security a minus instead of a plus. Okay? So next stage. This describes in more detail another stage, the eco-square stage, eco for economic, eco for ecological. So here the action should be tracked in a more complete and continuous way. Top management is committed. They will transmit environmental awareness to all the workers, save and optimize the use of energy, etc., creating a culture and so on. Invest the best available technologies and so on. Greater economic benefits because of doing this in a way that is creating added value. Starting devising eco-innovative products and services, taking into account ecological factors in the design, and so on and so on, achieving certification. Okay? So, again, I see that this is not only a description of EcoSquare, it describes also the other two stages, so this is a bit confusing. It's not the description of maturity stage 4, but description of maturity stage 4 to 6. And in the previous slide, it was description of maturity stages 1 to 3. So I will change the title so to make them more appropriate. But now we concentrate on the details of EcoSquare. So I think I make another mistake here. I don't see the stages or indicators, or do I see them? I think I repeated the slide only. So here you see the policies. Prioritize environmental aspects. Define objectives. Define indicators. Design actions or solutions. Implement action or solutions, control the results, encourage staff participation. Pretty much as to optimizing and enhancing the economic and ecological aspects. Next slide. The causal loop diagram, which includes the violet parts here. And they had pretty much to do with involvement, top involvement of the top management that will create increased staff commitment and will derive benefits. And otherwise, the loops you have seen before, but where in the beginning we have balancing loops, now we are adding reinforcing loops. And they are very important because reinforcing loops, if they are going in the right direction, they are reinforcing good things, creating more top management involvement, creating more benefits, creating more effect on the desired impact, and so on and so on. Next slide. Then the experts plotted the behavior of the indicators. And now you see them from the first stage through the last stage. These were expert opinions. Very often when we are looking at the future, when we are looking at what is going to happen, there are things that have not been done before. So if you don't have empirical results, then you will use the opinion of the people who know best. And take a little bit that with some corn of salt, that is, being prepared to revise this as time changes, because even experts, they can be make mistakes. In fact, experts make very often mistakes. And I am giving you examples of my kind. I think I am expert in many things, but you have seen several mistakes that I have made today with polarities and with the titles of some slides and so on. So humans make mistakes and so on, but still, if you are trying to do something that hasn't been done in the future, into the future, then you will use expert to create productions, projections, and use these projections for the time being as a guidance until you have empirical evidence, and you can use that to correct and to improve your models. Remember what I told you about devising measurement of temperatures. You started with some thermometers that were quite inaccurate, but still you could make progress and get new insights that allow you to create better thermometers, make better measurements that again led to better theories and even better thermometers and so on. That's similarly with the models. We use the models based on the best information that we have. It's better to be approximately correct than exactly wrong, we tend to say. You are exactly wrong if you want to be so accurate that you only rely on exact information. Then you have to leave a lot of things that could be very important. And it's better to consider them approximately than rather to leave them out, because if you leave them out, you are exact, you're giving them the value zero, but that's completely wrong. If you are inaccurate but still use the best values that you have, you are in a path of improving your knowledge, improving your models. Okay, so then we continue. In stage five, I only show the added slide, the added loops. You recognize here something that you have seen before, where we have in the previous slide products and services that were security design. Now you have eco designs. And then in the sixth stage, I will enter a little bit into details. Leading green company, you have achieved good eco design products. You have good combination of economy and ecology. Now you want to make the company and promote them as a benchmark for other companies, making the market aware of the green image of the company, and so that customers and competitors see the company as a reference company, and you have to sustain that. The previous stages, they are implemented, so they are driving the company, and in the sixth stage, you are re-upping the benefits of that. Then you have to devise policies for marketing and communication. They should be based on well knowledge of the market and the situation, defining clear goals, being aware what is the scope of your company, and adapting your actions to the geographical situations, what is working in Norway is not necessarily what is working in Italy. Make an environmental declaration, all these aspects that will also communicate and adapt your company to the situation, and making leading, and so on. Then you see here the last part of the causal loop diagram. You have seen something similar before, and the loops are the same one. It's about reinforcing the product and service communication, reinforcing the process communication, and reinforcing the label of being a green company using the policies that I described a moment ago. And then the domain experts extended the indicators or introduced new indicators. And all what you see here is the expectation of the experts as to how the development of all the indicators should be in transitioning to a mature company. to highest maturity level. So now comes the system dynamics model. This, you see a bird view of the system dynamic model that was created on all the information achieved through the group model building process. I don't expect you to see the details here. Yes, I wanted to give you some idea as to the model size. We can count the number of stocks, one here, two here, three, four, five, six, seven. No, perhaps eight. Eight boxes representing stocks, no mouse. Okay, sorry, I take it again. Apparently I lost it from the previous session, yes. Okay, again, sorry about that. One, two, three, four, five, six stocks so far. Seven stocks. Eight stocks. So stocks, as you remember, they are quantities that gradually increase through products, services, whatever entering, can decrease if something is leaving. So for instance, here, I will make it bigger. Here, something is entering and something is leaving the stock. And otherwise, you see a lot of variables. Everywhere where you see names, CLIVs, they are variables. And then you see arrows that show the links connecting that. So it's quite a big model, but still, you can see that on a sheet, on a screen. So it's with eight stock, it's big, but not too big. And this is in principle a model that could be adapted to other situations by changing the name of the parameters and adjusting the values. But the idea could be to cooperate with some organization, discuss the model, make whatever changes or anything, adjusting parameters and so on. And it could be a project in collaboration with Laura Georg as well, supervising two supervisors, that's possible. Okay, we continue with the last one. Here you see a comparison of the behavior proposed by experts, what you have seen before, and the simulation of the system dynamics model. And you see it's quite good. So for instance, this line here, the model simulates also decreasing, not exactly in the same way, but remember, this was what the expert anticipated, and this is what the model, the consequences are for the model, of what the experts put into the model. So it shows that the anticipation of the experts was approximately correct, but not wholly. But then this one shows here like this, and so on and so on. You see this one here, you see it here, and so on. So all in all, you have a reasonable close simulation behavior. If we were using that for monitor the progress of a company, then the natural thing to do was to continuously improve the system dynamics model as new insights are coming. In this case, we have a generic model that is indicating paths and behaviors and causes and so on, and it's based on kind of an average of the companies that were used. There were companies in Spain and Italy and the United Kingdom. So you cannot expect that a model where you mix ideas from different companies should be exact for a given company. For a given company, we'll have to do calibration of the parameters and adapt the details for closer. But as a first step, that's a good step. Then the other thing is that by having a system dynamic model that is able to connect causes and effects, that is able to show simulations that could be compared with reality, that allows you then to compare the progress of the company in terms of following the maturity model. And then you could, in this way, measure to what extent the policies suggested by the maturity model are being actually experienced in reality. So that gives you an interesting possibility of doing validation of maturity model, which, remember, that's something that Rentler in his review criticized, that only a minority of the maturity models proposed were actually validated. Okay, so last slide. So this PhD project added a very important feature to maturity models. One, expert projection for indicators and indicators metric over time, even if they are a bit more qualitative, but still they project them and their behavior over time. Then it allowed to create a system dynamic model that will connect the problem factors and will allow to simulate the behavior over time of the proposed indicators. In this way, you could monitor the progression towards higher maturity stages. Another thing is that you could also experiment with other policies. So instead of the policy suggested by the experts, or in addition to the policy suggested by the expert, you could try in a simulation model with other policies, which perhaps could turn out to be even better. At least you will learn through what if analysis. What if I change this? What happens? And so on. Then it allows to validate a maturity model by having a system dynamics model. I know it's a bit confusing that we use model here in two ways. Maturity model is the description of stages towards maturity with indicators and policies. The systems dynamics model is something that you create using the simulation tool where you connect the factors, give them values, and so on that you can simulate. But the system dynamics model, in this case, expresses the maturity model so that you can simulate the consequences of policies and so on. And as I said that, I see it's quite attractive, the possibility to adapt her work to security issues, and that's why I started this lecture by simply borrowing her model and making the question of ecology with security and transforming some names and so on. So that was this lecture here. Any questions? Comments? You may have some after, okay? Again, I have offered you to connect with me by Skype and so, I have still the possibility, but I think next week I am the whole week away. I am attending Horizon 2020 project workshop in a project that I, for which I am security coordinator, scientific coordinator, in Berlin, where we will be gathering at the premises of the German Standardization Agency called DIN, and that will be from Monday to Wednesday, and then the next days, Thursday and Friday, I will be traveling to Dresden, so I will not be so available, but if you have urgent issues and so on, then send me emails, and perhaps some of the evenings we could have a chat or whatever. And then don't forget the examination projects. Now it is 1 week, Friday 7th of April, 19 hours until you deliver your report. So that is an issue that I am sure you all are working on. Okay, So that was about maturity models. And this is a field that is extremely attractive. We are seeing an explosion of analysis in maturity models and all kinds of disciplines. And in the literature that I posted, you have a number of examples of information security. You may perhaps find others as well. I gave priority to models that to me seem to be realistic and validated, or if not validated, that could be validated. What I could show you very briefly is some ideas as to what we are doing in the system dynamics model. So I am going to share application, entire screen, share. This is the center that I established at the University of Agder and led for 4 years, the Center for Integrated Emergency Management. If you look at the different things, you will see different interesting things, but let's look at projects. We have a number of projects financed externally. Norwegian finds us like this, Horizon 2020 like this, Horizon 2020 like this, Horizon 2020, Horizon 2020, that's European, and so on and so on. So this is the project, Smart Mature Resilience, where I work as scientific coordinator. It is a multidisciplinary research project working for more resilient cities in Europe. And we are deriving a resilience management guideline and tools and so on. And we are concerned about both man-made threats and natural hazards and creating resilience, which is the ability of a system, community, or society exposed to hazards to resist, absorb, accommodate to, and recover from the effects of a hazard in a timely and efficient manner, including through the preservation and restoration of its essential basic structures and function. Wow, that's really long. But it is the United Nations Institutions for Disaster Risk Reduction. So we have to take it seriously. I am managing in my university, and I'm scientific coordinator. The administrative coordination is by Professor Sariegi, the one that was co-supervisor with me of Inulas Ben in Tignon. Then it's me with scientific coordinator. And at the University of Agder, we have a group of currently 5 people. Actually, we are 6. One name is not here. Mihoko, she's from Japan. She's postdoctor with us. Yasir Radianti, she was my PhD student. She has been with me for 12 years. She's now leading the CN lab. Tim Machak, he's associate professor, first amanuensis, and that's me. And in addition, there is Ahmed Abugouni, who finished currently his PhD, and he's doing a lot of the system dynamics modeling under the supervision of Yasir and me. And among the things that we do is develop a resilience maturity model, defining the trajectory towards resilience. Then we have risk assessment connected through systemic connections so that we see consequences and cascading effects. We develop resilience modeling policies, and we have a system dynamics model that we are developing that will express or embody the resilience maturity model. In addition, we have a resilience engagement and communication tool to integrate the wider public in community resilience and so on. So this gives you a little idea of things that we are working at. And in this project, we have partners, the University of Navarra with the Faculty of Engineering, the University of Strathclyde in Glasgow, Linköping University in Sweden, ICLE, in addition to of course to my university, my department, ICLE, which is an organization monitoring sustainability and resilience in cities. It was created by the United Nations, and they have more than 1,000 cities across the world that they are monitoring. And then seven cities, Kristiansand in southern Norway, Donostia, which is the bustling of San Sebastian in the Basque country, Glasgow in Scotland, Vejle in Denmark, Bristol in England, Rome in Italy, and Riga in Latvia, and then finally Dean in Germany. Okay? So where are we now? Here. Any questions, any comments as to this here? No? Good. Then do you have questions in other respects about the course or about the project or other things? Are there things that we could that you would like to get feedback now? Perhaps exploiting the opportunity that three of you are here, that could be also an opportunity to hear different opinions. What about the projects? You all three have selected the project, I hope. I know from Rune Schumann, exactly, pardon for saying it wrong. Rune has told me that he has started. He told me also his project he has selected. What about Berit and William? Are you? You have chosen Project FIB, which is about, that was about alignments and economics and information security. Okay, very good. What about Berit? Yes, you sent me a mail, but it was a little bit confused as to whether you chose 2 and 3. So now it's clarified. What about Berit? Case 1. Oh, very good. So different projects, different things. What I am going to do, when you submit, I always provide a very detailed feedback of your project. So I will comment on things that you have done. And the way I do that is that I don't express it things the negative way. Rather, if there are things that could be improved, then I will give you credits for the good things that you did, and perhaps suggest some improvement. Okay? Yes, you sent an email yesterday, yes. Yes, I saw that, but I didn't read. Yesterday I was busy until 11 o'clock in the evening, completing some slides and checking some things, and also putting the folder for you to upload the reports. It turned out that was quite complicated, but fortunately we have an expert here at NTNU in Jervik who knows Blackboard in all respects. Yes, creating the folder with the right elements. There were so many things you had to click on and select and others deselect, that I was very grateful that Steiner, what is his surname? Steiner's whom, I think is his surname. He was very, very helpful, and he's really a big expert. Then I will have to do something similar for the multiple choice exam that we will have Tuesday, the 18th in the evening. Okay, so no other questions, no other issues related to previous things and so on. The multiple choice exam was Tuesday, the 18th of April at 7 o'clock. I am pretty sure that I put an announcement about that, but I will have a look at it and perhaps send a refreshment. As you know, each of the examinations counts 20%. So this project that you are conducting now, that you have selected, will give 20% to your grade, whereas each multiple choice examen will count 13.3%. So the three multiple choice exams will count 40% to the total grade, and the three projects that you conduct, first with Laura and then with me, finally with Hannes, they will count together 60%, each of them 20%. Okay, so we have only 5 minutes left of this hour here. Other issues? You don't have any questions of previous things or so? What about the project? Are there things that I cannot help you conduct the project, but I can clarify issues? Okay. Yes, William, ask to contact me later. Yes, what you could do is call me to sometime between 16:30 and 18:00. Then I will be in the bus traveling from Jøvik to Gardermoen, and we could talk about that. Later then, when we are in the airport, passing security and so on, so I will not be easy available, and flying and so on. So that's a possibility for talking today, if that's okay. So I put call me to my mobile between 16:30 and 18:00, any of you who, if you have questions. Otherwise, you can Skype also, if you like. You can send me messages by Skype. Yes, between 16:30 and 18:00, yes. Skype won't go between 16:30 and 18:00, but mobile phone will go. But otherwise, we could appoint chats by Skype other days. Or you can send me things by email. I will then also regularly monitor my email and answer questions. In relation to the project, I cannot say, have a look at your solutions and say this is good or not. This would be against the rules. But what I can help you about is clarifying issues if there are things that are not clear in the report or whatever. Okay, so it's close to 1:00. We will have a break now until 1:10. 1:10, so we will have a shorter break. And then the next hours will have only 10 minutes break. So we continue at 1:10.